Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I'm running a little bit behind time tonight. Just give us a few minutes to ring out the bugs here. Calling the host now. Where are you? And introducing Mr. Vic Slick Pavlovic.
James, I appreciate the introduction, and I appreciate everybody joining us today. This is really a momentous occasion, because normally I don't like to speak out on certain matters, but in this day and age and in the times that we're facing, I think we owe the people around us the duty and responsibility to talk about the things happening in this world and not just sports like you and I love, James. So I appreciate you having me on and giving me a platform to talk about what I want to talk about. I appreciate the Sports Crib Network. You guys do a great job. Check out all their other programming, all their other channels. They have some phenomenal minds working over there at the Sports Crib. And I really just want to thank you, James. You've been so nice to me over the years. I've done so many sports broadcasts with you. I've done so many predictions with you, and we've seen them go both ways. You know, we've seen some great, great misses, and we've seen some spot-on predictions. So you've been there every step of the way. You've helped me out every second. So I really appreciate you for that, James. Thank you. And so, moving on to the rest of the show, what I want to talk to you guys a little bit about, James, and anytime you want to include any comments or anything like that, just let me know. But really, let's get down to the nitty-gritty of it, and that is, what exactly is going on? What is happening to the world around us? And, you know, every day we wake up, and it's kind of like, is this a real thing? Is this really what's happening? Is this really what we're facing? And it's hard to imagine sometimes, but this is the reality, and we have to go ahead and face it, and we have to move forward. And what I'm really talking about is the administration of the United States of America right now. And I'm not saying it in a way that's, oh, we need to disregard everything they're doing, and I'm not one of those people saying not my president either. And I'll tell you why, James, because we can't have the same mentality that people had 4 years ago and 8 years ago. We can't spread that same message of hate and obstructionism that has been spread out. And I'm not saying we should go along with everything Donald Trump and his administration is imposing, because I disagree with a lot of it. But however, I can't say that every idea they have, automatically I'm going to strike it off and say, no, thank you, because I don't think that's a productive way to run our country. We have so many challenges facing us right now. So many things that we need to worry about, so many threats, both domestically and abroad, that to say we're not going to assist you at all in running our government, we're just really taking the same stance that the Republicans did. What do you think about that, James?
I have mixed feelings, kind of like you do, but I have kind of taken the opposite stance of not my president. I have witnessed the era, the Jim Crow era. Some of the radical websites have shown, like lynchings that took part in 1960. Well, you know, you have to remember, you know, I went in the military in 1965. So, you know, I went through the governor, father's incident, you know, standing in front of the students, in the University of Mississippi. My father was a Martin Luther King You know, he loved his sermons, and you know, we watched him on TV. And as I grew older, I kind of got away from, you know, that Martin Luther King message of turning the other cheek, because that wasn't my reality. So, I mean, even though I imagine there aren't a lot of us left, you know, in this age group, I think we tend to take a harsher stance. Now, you know, whether or not that's healthy, you know, some of us are still, you know, we went from, you know, political correctness to now we don't know what is going on. I mean, you know, we have millennials, then we have Donald Trump, then, you know.
James, you know, let me piggyback off what you're saying right now, because I think you raise a valid point. First off, let me say thank you so much for serving our country. And that really goes for everybody who protects us, and that includes law enforcement. I know that, you know, there's always going to be some people who don't do things the way we want them to do, but we can't let those people speak for the masses. Not all cops are crooked. I've gotten caught red-handed plenty of times with police. I treat them with respect and dignity. I was honest with them, and I have a clean record because of that. So, but I also understand that there are two sides to every coin. But based off that, I want to say thank you, and thank you to everybody who protects us, because these freedoms that we enjoy, these sports that we love watching, you and I, James, this apartment that I'm living in, the fact that I can do the show with you, this is all because of the sacrifices you and everybody else who ever wore a uniform made. So thank you guys for that. But now I will say this as well. We are not treating these people the way they should be treated. And it doesn't matter what the administration is. Our veterans are not getting their fair shake, whether it's Donald Trump, whether it's Barack Obama, whether it's George W. Bush. They are not getting the respect they deserve. And I live in Charleston, South Carolina. We have a VA here that is very backed up, very inefficient. And the law firm I work at, whenever we try to get medical requests from them or billing records, it is a dubious process just because there's so much red tape and bureaucracy getting involved in that. Now, some Donald Trump supporters might say, oh, but Donald Trump has an executive order where if he passes one regulation, he slashes two other regulations. What kind of arbitrary, random rule is that? I mean, where are you guys even getting that from? What two regulations are you going to slash? And now we're seeing that a lot of these regulations that are being slashed are in regards to our environment. And they want to decrease the budget of the EPA, and they're passing these executive orders that are saying that there doesn't have to be disclosures about coal companies and other major corporations as to what kind of pollutants they put into our water systems. And this is all damaging us, but we're not even seeing that. And this is one issue I want to talk about, because we're not even seeing what's really happening in our country, because we're so busy about what's going on Twitter. Oh, what's Donald Trump saying on Twitter? What's he saying on Twitter? Who cares? Who cares? Because that's not the issue. The issue is what's happening behind the scenes while he's saying this stuff. We're worried about, oh, he's picking a fight. Oh, we posted a picture with Chuck Schumer and Vladimir Putin. Okay, whatever. Meanwhile, they're dumping toxins into the river. Okay, this is kind of serious. Meanwhile, public education is about to be defunded. And I went to a public school. And I, you know, have my brain because of a public school. So these are serious issues that, you know, we really need to consider. But one thing I have noticed about the administration that we have right now, and, you know, you're talking about civil rights era and what a crazy time that was, Jim Crow era. And if the wife of Martin Luther King is writing letters against Jeff Sessions because of his implications with racism and discrimination, there has to be some merit behind that. And the fact that he wasn't allowed to be a judge because of that letter, and now he's the attorney general, the lead lawyer in America, is very troublesome. It's very troublesome. And Jeff Sessions, we all know, just recused himself from any investigations concerning the Trump campaign, and that includes all the Russia ties that we have. But I think it's interesting to point out two things. The Trump administration will say one thing and do another, and I'll explain to you what I mean. For example, with the Jeff Sessions thing, Sean Spicer and Kellyanne Conway came out and said, there's no need for Jeff Sessions to recuse himself from this investigation. There's no need. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Meanwhile, Jeff Sessions comes out himself and recuses, which I think was a very smart move on his part, to be honest. I'll give you another example of this. General McMaster, who I think was a very respectable pick for his NSA, and I think a very respected man in his field. General McMaster told him that the term radical Islamic terrorism wasn't the most appropriate terminology when defining the threat that we face with ISIS and all these radical groups, because it subjects an entire religion and another billion people and groups them in, kind of like how I was talking with the police officers and all those people. The actions of a few should not also be manifested onto the other billion people who live on this country, live in this planet as well. But General McMaster said, don't use the term radical Islamic terrorism. I don't really agree with it. I don't think it helps our mission. And then what happens? Donald Trump, during his speech to the joint congressional session, says, radical, period, Islamic, period, terrorism. So he's going against people in his cabinet directly, and he is telling his spokespeople, which are Sean Spicer and Kellyanne Conway, to say certain things, and then the exact opposite are happening. So we really need to all be careful about what we're paying attention to. Not the Twitter, not the press briefing, not what they're saying in these things, but what they are actually doing, the actions that are happening. And speaking of Twitter, I thought it was really funny. You know, we're talking about what Donald Trump says on Twitter. He had a tweet today where he was saying Chuck Schumer needs to be investigated for ties with Putin, and that also Nancy Pelosi needs to be investigated for her role with Russia. And when he did that, he said that I hereby declare an investigation, but he spelled hereby, H-E-A-R space B-Y, hereby. He quickly realized he misspelled it, so then he tries again. Hereby, H-E-A-R-B-Y, misspelled it again. Finally, on the third try, he got hereby, spelled right, H-E-R-E-B-Y. And it just kind of goes to tell you that he really has an unfiltered access to his Twitter, and the things that he says on his social media have a direct impact on the world. And that's the bottom line. You've seen the effects with the stocks. He says something about a certain corporation, a certain company. He visits Boeing, and all of a sudden, oh, stocks are up. Everything's going great. The union, oh, we're not going to vote for a union in South Carolina. You know, in Charleston, they voted against the union, and then in Seattle, they cut a whole bunch of union jobs. So that's the way it's working right now, and that's the direction our country's going in. We're going deregulation. We're going no unions, and we're giving the power more so to those giant corporations, which is something that I know a lot of people had a problem with. But this is what I don't understand, James. If you want to drain the swamp and you want to get rid of all these people who have such control of our lives, the 1%, then why are we picking Donald Trump to do that for us? I don't understand. Where did you draw that connection, James?
Believe me, this, you know, the Donald Trump thing is, for lack of a better term, it was a phenomenon, you know, and I actually watched this progress from, you know, at the time, it just seemed to be a conversation on the Oprah show, you know. I mean, Donald Trump actually, you know, lined this campaign up decades ago, and it actually fell in place. People, you know, thought of him as you know, the whatever you want to call that haircut, you know, clown. But, you know, this man has, you know, managed to work himself and his family up until the most powerful position in the world. Now, there are a lot of things about Donald Trump, especially, you know, when you talk about, you know, when we want to go back to civil rights and things like that, there are a lot of personal things that we can put at his feet. But one of the things that, you know, I would want to know, you know, as a millennial, how do you feel when you find that the very group that he humiliates the most, which is, you know, women between the ages of 25 to 38. This is actually one of, you know, when you look at the demographic, this is one of the
people that voted the most for him.
Yeah, and can you kind of explain that?
I think that's very interesting, and I'll tell you, I can explain it in one word, honestly, and that word is Hillary. Because Hillary Clinton was a candidate they chose to put against Donald Trump, I think if they put any other candidate in that slot, that ratio of women who voted for Trump would have gone down. Because in all honesty, how can you look at a guy who has had three wives, has talked about his daughter in inappropriate ways, who on tape is caught saying some of the most lewd comments I've ever heard in my life, that I can't believe Howard Dean, he lost his campaign. His campaign was ruined because of the Dean scream. He came in second place in a freaking caucus, got excited, screamed at the end of his speech, and his career was done. Donald Trump talks about grabbing women's private parts, and, oh, now he's president of the United States of America. I mean, the chickens have come home to roost. We are a sexualized, extreme, popular society that all we care about is celebrity status, where we're at, what we have, material things. So it only makes sense that the most ego-driven, narcissistic, materialistic person in the world is our leader. It only makes sense. And, you know, I wouldn't even be so against it if there weren't the undertones and the people that he's emboldening now. And what I really want to talk about is, for example, let's look at Kansas. In Kansas, two Indian men are at a bar. Next thing you know, they're getting shot at by a guy who yells, "Get out of my country." The only reason they're getting shot at is because they're brown. That is the only reason. And the only reason that person who pulled the trigger thinks that they are a threat is because the media and the current administration are spreading this narrative that we are all constantly under danger, that there's threats left and right to us, and that we cannot be safe until we invest all of our hope and faith into the administration, and they'll come out with a plan next month. That's always the Trump administration's line. Oh, we got something coming out next week. Next week comes. Oh, yeah, you know what, next week for sure. Come on. Has any legislation been passed? Have we passed any legislation? Oh, my first 30 days, we'll have a plan to defeat ISIS. All right, well, it's like day 35, bro. Oh, we're going to repeal and replace Obamacare on the same day. That's not going to happen, James. I don't think that's going to happen. Do you think the Republicans will ever repeal Obamacare?
Well, they can't afford. They cannot afford to, because they can't replace it with anything that the insurance companies are going to like. And that's who he's catering to. It's not about the people anymore. It's, you know, it's just like, you know, Donald Trump says that he's brought jobs in. All right, granted, he's brought jobs in, but these are highly technical jobs. What does this do for the kid that's graduating from high school? It gives him aspirations, but it doesn't put any money in his pocket. Or, you know, maybe he has to share with the family. Maybe the family is homeless. I mean, you know, bringing in technological jobs right now is not what we need. And
well, another thing, though, James. Hold on, another thing. The jobs that he's taking credit for. Listen, we've had increased job rate for like the past 40 months. Why is this all of a sudden he's getting credit for all the jobs that were created in the Obama administration? We had unemployment at 5%. The stock market had doubled. And now all of a sudden these things are continuing to happen and Trump is saying, oh, it's because I'm in office. I mean, how much credit is he going to take? I mean, I was saying he's an epitome of the American. Well, that isn't that perfect that the black guy does all the work and then the white guy's like, yes, it was all because of me that this is so good right now. Isn't that the total epitome of it?
Well, I mean, you know, like I said, this for, you know, to us, this is like, you know, a flashback in time. You know, anyone that's over probably the age of 60, especially, you know, people that are starting to, you know, that are starting to retire, people that are starting to, you know, depend on that Social Security that they've built up. You know, I mean, I would certainly say that, you know, if it wasn't for my time in the military and, you know, various jobs, you know, I mean, right now, you know, hey, I'd be one of those guys under the bridge, you know, or maybe something even worse, you know. But it amazes me how people put the blinders on. Like you said, you know, we've had this on for months. You know, we've actually, you know, had a lot of growth under Obama, but, you know, nobody wants to admit this right now because, you know, we're so, I don't know, you know, I guess, you know, for want of a better term to go back in history, it seems like we're almost getting back to the colonialist type of power where, you know, it's all about us, but it's not about the people whose backs we built it on. It's just that upper class, that upper, like you say, that 1%. We used to call them the 10%ers. Now they're the 1%ers.
Well, listen, I'm for the 100%, okay? Even the 1% combined. I just want a system and a way for there to be more equity in this country. And what I mean by that is I live in a place right now in downtown Charleston, South Carolina, where there are million-dollar constructions happening left and right of me. Meanwhile, there's people on the streets begging for money. Meanwhile, there's college students who are graduating, working in the same freaking restaurants they were eating at while they were in college because their education degree is not doing anything for them. Meanwhile, there's veterans who served our country so bravely, did so much for us, sacrificed so much, and they're in the park with a tin can in front of them. I mean, this is the reality of the problem we face. And anyone in that cabinet of the United States of America, and that goes for any administration, not just the current one, they wouldn't walk the streets of Charleston and see that. They would never see that because they live in an isolated bubble of what they think America is. True Americans make America. And that's one message I want to get across to everybody tonight. We have to do what we need to do to educate our own people. So I'm encouraging everybody, stay informed, listen to your local news, listen to your local newspapers, share your own stories, because now there's so much misinformation going around, there's so much propaganda that's going to be put into place within the mainstream media that we have to make sure that we preserve truth and do what we need to do to educate the people within our circles. So if you see a story, fact check your stories, share them. Make sure you keep people educated, because one thing that did happen after this election cycle is more people are aware, more people are considerate about the policies and the leadership in this country, and I think more people are going to get involved. And the epitome of that is me having this show tonight and you helping me do it. I mean, the fact that we think it's so important that we get our voice heard and more people feel emboldened to do what we're doing, this is what we need to continue to do. This type of grassroots, organic patriotism is what's going to bring our country back. And If anybody wants to call in for the final few minutes of our show, the number is 718-506-1506. Feel free to call in. We'll put you guys on the air, and we'll see if we can get some more interesting conversation happening. But I do want to talk about the mainstream media a little bit, and I saw something really funny. At the joint session speech that Donald Trump gave, he was protested by a select group of Democrats, particularly women, and they chose to wear all white pantsuits. And that was their silent way of protesting. And I will say that you guys know how pompous these freaking speeches are. I mean, this president says one line, half the room stands up and applauds him. The other half is sitting down looking pissed off. Oh, now we have a new president. Now the other half of the room stands up and the other half is sitting down pissed off. But I will give it to the Democrats. It would be really easy to not clap, to not stand, but the Democrats did what they needed to do. They stood for the president. They treated him with respect. They didn't shout, "You lie," in the middle of the president's statements. So I think they did handle that very well. But the all-white pantsuit, this is what I saw on the mainstream media. They had an article that was saying that by wearing the all-white pantsuit, these Democrats were somehow trying to represent and endorse the KKK. That was literally the way they were trying to spin the protest of wearing all white, is saying that Democrats are now supported by the KKK. I mean, this is how bad things have gotten. This is their strategy now. Don't investigate Republicans for their affairs in Russia. Investigate Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. They're the ones who need to be investigated. We're not racist. We're not emboldening racism. It's the Democrats who are wearing all white. I mean, this is literally how bad things have gotten, and this is how low I think their chess game has devolved to. Their chess game is now checkers game, and after checkers, I don't know what happens. I don't know what's going to happen next, but I think things are crumbling. I think there's a schism within the administration, and we're just watching it all from afar.
Excuse me, Vic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, but I didn't get that KKK thing, man. You know, I mean, isn't this hilarious when you consider that you have an Albright guy on your National Security Council, but the Democrats wearing all white signifies racism?
I mean, Jeff Sessions is your attorney general, and you're talking about, oh, the other side is racist. It's shocking. And this is a strategy they're using consistently. I don't know what to tell you, James. These are the times we face, but luckily people are being more vocal about it, and they're trying to make a change for the best. So that's all we can hope to do. I will say one thing, though. Charleston, South Carolina. Where are you located at right now, James?
I'm in San Diego.
Okay. That's actually probably kind of similar lifestyle that we live. But this is a very relaxed town. There's not too many things that stress us out. There's not too much controversy happening here. But even in this fairy tale of a town, I can feel and start to see the rumblings of people wanting to get more involved, wanting to see real, true change. And I hope that's happening not just here and all throughout America. And it's not just protesting, okay? Protesting is nice, and it's good to demonstrate that way. But there has to be actual action taking place as well. At a protest, you're not going to talk about ways to improve the school board, to improve policies, to help sharpen regulation so it's not weighing us down, but actually being efficient. We're not talking about that stuff at protests. We should be. Those things happen at meetings. We need to talk in meetings. We need to join committees. We need to call up our local government and say, hey, how can I get involved? What can I do? Because that's the way we're going to change things. It all happens organically. It's not going to happen from the top up, because I'll tell you right now, there hasn't even been a bill passed. We don't even have the current administration hasn't really given us anything that shows us they're going to do anything for the next 4 years. President Trump has spent 5 out of 6 weekends at Mar-a-Lago in Florida. Think about that. It costs over $10 million a year to protect Donald Trump and his family. Sorry, $10 million a month. It costs the Obamas $12 million a year. It's going to cost the Trump family over $100 million a year to protect them. Meanwhile, Eric and Donald Jr. are in United Arab Emirates opening a new hotel, or they're in Canada opening a new hotel. Donald Trump's in Florida or at Trump Tower. They're not going to Camp David. They're not staying in the White House. I mean, this is all a game to them. And, you know, another thing, to join his membership in Mar-a-Lago, the membership fee is doubled. You have to pay at least $200,000, $250,000 to be a member of that club. And you know why now? Because the president's there every weekend. He's gaining from this. He's making money off this. And nothing is being done about it.
Well, Vic, you know, this is, you know, unfortunately, we only scheduled our first show for 30 minutes, and we do have to get out of here, but I do hope that you will include the school board thing in next week's conversation, and why don't you give everyone your final thought for the evening, and hey, we look forward to our show next week.
And thank you once again, James. I appreciate everybody out there listening, and I encourage everybody to call in if you guys have anything you want to say, anything you guys want to talk about. It's not just politics. It can be anything. Thank you to the Sports Crib Network. You guys have always been so kind to me. I really appreciate you guys for that, and I look forward to seeing y'all next week. I'll try to have more guests on. I'll get some more guys called in. We'll get some different opinions. And I just want to encourage everybody. It doesn't matter if you're Democrat, Republican, black, white, brown. We are all human beings. We are all in the human race. We are all here for the benefit of the 100%. So let's do what we can to make our world better one step at a time, one day at a time. Thank you, everybody, and I'll see you next week.